When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ike, Spike, and Fritz at Schickies and Pete's in South Philly. Mondays, as always, we will have the Brandon Graham Show at 6 with myself, BG, Howard Eskin, and then at 7, the Players Lounge with Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore Parks, and this week's guest, Jordan Mailata. A big week to have Jordan here as he is officially eligible to practice this week, and he can come off IR to play on Thursday. We don't know if he will. Maybe we'll find out tonight at 7. You can come by CBG and see Jordan this evening. We're going to play you some audio in a second of Jalen Hurts during the game yesterday, talking to the defensive players. I think it's really good audio and shows some evolution from Jalen Hurts. First, Pat in Denver, you're on WIP. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Ike. Hey, it's Devon A-Chain.
So, yes, yeah. Devon A-Chain.
FYI.
Yep.
You got it. 34-6. I mean, can we enjoy a win, please, before people just go negative? I mean, I'm one of the negative Negadelphia people. I live here in Colorado, but I grew up in South Jersey. And Spike, I got a bone to pick with you before you hang up on me.
Just real quick, Pat. Where have we been negative? I feel like we're talking about them going to the Super Bowl and being the second best team in the NFC.
I've been listening all day, and, okay. And it's, you know, Jalen Hurts isn't an elite quarterback, and can they get there? Yes or no? Of course they can get there. If Jalen Hurts goes out and throws 5 interceptions, are you kidding? This the town would be on fire.
Pat, you don't think Detroit, if they lost that game, you don't think they're talking about Jared Goff throwing 5 interceptions? Do you think they're just ignoring it?
No, they're not going to ignore it. They shouldn't be ignoring it today.
Sure. So if Jalen
and Mike Valenti is talking about it,
I guarantee you they're talking about it. So. I can't account for any of the other shows, but we talk for 4 hours about the game. So we're going to talk about the good things. I'm going to talk about the bad things too.
Do you think if Jared Goff throws 5 interceptions against the Eagles in the NFC Championship game that they're going to lose that game? Please.
Yes.
That would be my guess.
Give me a break. Yes. This defense is way better than the defense in 2022. I don't care about the numbers on the sacks and pressures.
And a way better coordinator. They had a grown man at coordinator this year.
Absolute grown man, and these guys want to win, and they want to be out there, and they're not cowering behind excuses. So, you know, all the Sirianni haters out there, shut your mouth.
Yep.
Stop it. Right?
Yep. You're dead right, Pat.
So, yeah. Spike.
Yeah.
What is it with Pearl Jam? Why do you hate on Pearl Jam?
Finally, the important issues.
Did you say Pearl Jam?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, I just don't like them. I don't hate them. I have great respect for them. They've turned into a career band, and I would say probably one of the 10 greatest American rock bands of all time. I just don't like them very much.
There you go.
Whoa. Okay.
I don't know what to tell you. Their music doesn't speak to me. I think the songs are mostly annoying, but it's hard to argue that how great they are.
You don't get fired up with Pearl Jam, Alive, Even Flow, but you can play Creed every day.
Yes, yes,
it
yes.
drives me crazy.
Yes,
don't worry, coming up at 5:30.
Yeah, 5:30. Yes,
yep.
Yes.
Stop playing Creed, please.
No,
are you not a Creedsman, Pat?
No,
not a Creedsman.
Oh, Pat, get with the program.
You know, just let your guard down a little bit and have a little fun.
I will say this:
get some Scott Stapp up in you. Yeah.
Okay, can we move on from
all
that?
All right. Yeah. All right. So this is after Jalen fumbled, right? This is this is what the sound is from. So after Jalen fumbled, this is what he was heard doing on the sidelines.
After the fumble, you kind of went up and down the bench, like shaking everybody's hand.
You saw that?
What's that?
So you saw that?
I did, yes. So, I mean, what was that? What was kind of going through your mind in the moment? Like, were you trying to tell these guys, like, keep your head in there and, you know, everything?
No, you know, I think it's just we're in it together, you know, and I have, you know, zero pride or anything involved in owning my mistakes. And so I made a mistake, and it hurt the team, you know, but I was thankful for they had my back, and, you know, more so the defense and how they responded and how they played and just the conversations we have. And I think that's something that starts in the middle of the week, not even on Sundays, but we know that it takes all of us. And then obviously everyone, you know, offensively, just knowing we're just going to keep pressing and keep moving forward, keep staying with it, you know, keep throwing punches. And that's exactly, I think, how we handled it.
Now, aside from the you saw that.
Yeah, we saw it.
Yes. Yeah. Aside from that, even if here's another reason I give him credit. Even if he doesn't believe any of these things, doing them is enough to a certain extent. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
it might be a conscious decision for him. It's probably not natural for him to do that, to go up to the players after that. Like, that might not be a natural thing for him to do, but him thinking this is the right thing to do and this will have a positive effect the rest of the game, that's all I need.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've seen him do that before.
Yeah.
I've seen him do that before. I don't know why he seemed so surprised somebody saw it. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. It's common sense. Like, your defense just went out there and saved your bacon.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I've seen plenty of quarterbacks do that. It's great that he did it. And the defense deserved it. I honestly thought yesterday the game was more about the defense. I know we've talked about Jalen, we've talked about Saquon, but to me that was a defensive win yesterday. They showed up. They didn't play sloppy early. Like, they didn't give up two scoring drives to start the game and we're down 14-0, and then all of a sudden we realize we're in a football game, so now let's start playing defense. They came into the game with the mindset of, we're going to dominate this team. This team ain't scoring on us today. And there's something brewing with this defense that I believe now, that's where the real expectations have changed.
Sure.
Is that this is a legitimate defense that you can believe in. And when you compare how they play defense versus what I've seen some of these other teams do, look, just think about a common opponent with the Baltimore Ravens. They played the Bengals twice. Bengals scored 40 both times, damn near. Bengals played the Eagles. They got two touchdowns. Right?
Yeah.
That's a high-powered offense, the Bengals. Ravens couldn't stop it. I just look at some of these other teams, and I'm like, this defense is solidifying itself as a top. They're already top. We're looking at a top five defense if they keep this up.
I think one of the things that's changed is, instead of being worried about going up against these great offenses the next 3 weeks, now I'm excited to see what happens.
We haven't had this much homegrown talent on defense since the early 2000s.
Right.
In my opinion. It's a time in there where it happened. I don't remember having this much homegrown talent versus having a bunch of mercenaries, trades, all that type of stuff. I mean, I look at this defense, I'm like, man, this could be our defense for the next 3 to 4 years easily.
We will hear from the guy really responsible for this win, Nick Sirianni.
Oh, yeah.
Next.
Right. Give Nick his credit.
Give him his credit. Another win for Nick. 215-592-9494. Are the Eagles Super Bowl contenders after that big win yesterday? We're at Cheeky's and Pete's in South Philly. Birds at the Half, another WIP event, is back November 20th right here at Cheeky's. Benefits the Travis Mannion Foundation. Details at 94WIP.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Cheeky's in South Philly. Brandon Graham Show at 6. Players Lounge at 7 right here at Cheeky's. You can hear it on the radio, watch it on YouTube, or you can just stop down. Hang out right here with us. Coming up in moments, the Nick Sirianni Day After Press Conference. The coach's press conference is sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. Big V, you're on WIP. What's up, Big V?
Yo, Mike, how you doing, man?
What up?
Man, did you ever be so happy to see somebody get their butt kicked like yesterday?
It was nice. It's not just for that game. I think we're all taking a little bit of joy in the complete unraveling of the Dallas Cowboys this year. And this is not going to be an easy thing to unravel from. They just spent a bunch of money. Their quarterback looks like he's out for the year. The owner is getting mad at reporters who are asking him about how they designed the stadium because of the sun glare. Like, it is fun to watch the Cowboys unravel like this. And I do think this could be the beginning of a downtime for the Dallas Cowboys. Like, over the last several years, they've just been fantastically talented, and you just don't – they have some good players, but you don't see it everywhere anymore, and you wonder how they're going to turn this around.
What, the quarterback? Dak signed a long-term
yes.
deal.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like just overall, they're stuck with a few, you know, key mm-hmm. players right now, and it's the vibe around all of it is not very
good.
Yeah,
get McCarthy out of there.
Yeah, they'll fire him.
The Micah said what he said yesterday. They need a new coach in there with a different approach.
Would you hire – there's some rumors about one certain college coach, a certain Coach Prime.
I don't think Deion can coach pro players.
Not with that way.
No.
Yeah.
And that's the only way he knows how to coach.
Oh, here is Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, hi, Nick. Ask you about turnovers. A lot of talk yesterday about how you're showing clips of turnovers throughout the league, and you spoke about it. But what was kind of the impetus to that? Is that a recent coaching tool that you've implemented here? And where did the idea come from?
No, we've been doing that. That's part of our process that we do. We've been doing that since Indy. A lot of different things play into that. We have a meeting on the way teams create turnovers, that Jamal Singleton runs on Thursdays. And then, we always, after each practice, look at our ball security, the way we're taking care of it, and the way we're coming after it. So that's in every team meeting, emphasis on that. And then Saturdays, we always show the things from all around the league. Again, we don't show every single turnover, but the ones that make sense for us too, and the ones we need to learn from, so anywhere from 10, 15 clips or whatever it is. And it's just so it's always on their mind. We know, again, it goes back to, we talk a lot about winning the double positive, winning the turnover battle, winning the explosive play battle. And it's just something that we emphasize. We've always emphasized. You guys have seen the posters and the banners in our team room of emphasizing that. It's just we want it to always be on their mind. I think now we're 23-1 since 2021 when we win the turnover battle. So we know for us it's a huge stat. I mean, it's for every team it's a huge stat, but even more so for us. Because we're above the league average as far as 23-1 when we win that turnover battle. So we constantly try to think of new ways to teach it. We constantly try to think of new ways to implement it. And those are some of the things right there. And I think, I'm glad, I think what happens too is I'm glad the players are talking about that in this sense of, hey, we watch this all the time because it's etched in their mind and that's what you want. If a play, like I said to you guys last night, if a play happens in any football game that they're watching, Thursday night, Monday night, during college football, they're texting back and forth saying, hey, this guy's got to get the ball in the right hand or whatever it is. So that's what you want. That's when you got your culture going the way you want it to go, is when it's constant, all those things like that are constantly on their mind. And it sounds like that's the case.
We'll go to Ruben and then Chris.
Hey, Nick. Hope you got a little sleep overnight. What goes into – you have so many new pieces in the secondary, a couple rookies. CJ wasn't here last year. Isaiah's been playing snaps. What goes into that group being so new and playing so well together?
Yeah. First, Vic has everybody on the same page of, what's required, what's expected. How he wants things to play versus different looks. And then you got your position coaches with CP and Joe Casper and Roy, getting these guys, in the room to be on the same page. And I think that's such a big part. Obviously, we're talented there. We have talented players there with the addition of of the new guys that we have, you know, and Reed and Slay being the holdovers and Avante that have been here. But they've worked really hard to be on the same page. You know, one of the easiest ways to get beat in the secondary, in my opinion, is not one-on-one matchups. One of the easiest ways to give up plays is when you're not all on the same page. We work really hard to do that. And these guys are connected back there. And again, the more you're connected as a football team, you know, the more it's going to show on the field, you know, through their celebrations and then also through them being on the same page. You know, obviously these guys have come in and are good football players, but then just constant work of, you know, being back there together as one. You know, the rookies, you know, they've really flexed their muscles as they've went with Q and Coop, and it's just a nice mix of veteran leadership with Slay's one of the best leaders that we have on this football team. So it's, you know, the combination of the veteran leadership, you know, with the middle group as far as, you know, the guys that have played 4, 5, 6 years in the league to the young guys.
Thank you.
We'll go to Chris and then Jeff.
Afternoon, Nick. It's the third straight year now you guys have had at least a win streak of at least 5 games. What's something, I know personnel changes over time, but what's something that you've learned about this current group that you have right now during that win streak, and how do you guys maintain this over the rest of the year?
Yeah, you know, we're just worried about the next one. And that's, I think that's all you can do is, like, no one's thinking about a win streak when it's, you know, it's the first game. And you shouldn't be thinking about it in the fifth game. You just want to continue to play good football. And wins, you know, clump together as they have. Again, though, we don't think about it that much. We don't think about, you know, about that portion of it, because we're constantly in the moment of where we are. And this week, you don't got time at all to think about a win streak this week, because it's such a quick turnaround to our next game against a good, really good opponent. And so our focus is on getting better every day. If you can string some wins together as you do that, that's ideal. But getting better every day through the good things that we do and then also the mistakes that we do.
We'll go to Jeff and then John.
Hey, Nick, I know this may be low on your list of concerns, but Devontae Smith averaged 9.5 targets in the first 3 games. And since the bye, that number is cut. It's actually in half. You know, how do you juggle, you know, the fact that your offense is thriving versus not getting one of your better players as involved as you probably would like to?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jeff. You know, obviously it's always in our thought process to get them the ball. You know, three of the last four games have, you know, been really heavy run in the second half, you know, because of the leads that we had and probably, you know, more so, I think if you add all the snaps up that Devontae hasn't played in that portion, you know, he hasn't played a lot in that portion of the game. Obviously got to take a lot of the guys out yesterday with rest, but, you know, it's still on our mind to get him the ball. It's still on our mind to get AJ the ball. It's still on our mind to get Dallas the football right now. And there's going to be games where it's going to have to go that way. And right now we have a formula of how we're winning. We want to continue on that, but also know that we have a lot of different pieces to be able to, you know, to win different ways. And so I just think about the opportunities that Devontae has gotten. He's really taken advantage of, obviously, a huge play last game against Jacksonville to help us win that football game on a 3rd and 20. You know, had a big time third down catch in that game as well. And so, you know, Devontae was our player of the game, I believe, that the game before, because of how good he played with the football in his hands and when the football went to him, and also when it wasn't going to him. And so, you know, he is such a good teammate and such a selfless teammate that he's blocking his butt off and doing things to change the game when the ball's not coming to him. And so that's just something that happens through the ebbs and flows of the season, where, you know, sometimes you're getting a bunch of targets and sometimes you're not. And we know to be the team that we want to be and to be the successful team we want to be, Devontae Smith has to play a huge role in the offense, and he will as we continue forward.
We'll go to John and then Tim.
Hey, Nick. You mentioned a little bit about the short week. As much as you can you take us into the preparation of this week versus a normal Sunday, Monday week and how things change, or is it that drastic?
Yeah, it's obviously drastic. I mean, you'd say let's say 100-hour work week, and now you got to do it in 4 days, because there you can't be like, well, I'm going to skip this week, or I'm going to skip that this week. It's all the same amount of work has to be put in. Some coaches, you know, and everybody, you know, you don't meet 100% of the time all together. You know, there's portions of the week where you're preparing on your own and then coming together to kind of talk about what you learned on your own. And so some coaches, all coaches are a little bit different. Some coaches will do it all in the week, or, you know, on the flight home, or some will do it in the week before, you know, in the little bit of free time that they have there. So, but no steps are ever skipped. It's just everything gets crammed into, you know, into a shorter amount of time. And so that's what we're working through right now is, you know, I think a lot of guys will have big bags under our eyes at the end of the week, but, you know, we got to do what we need to do as coaches to get the guys ready. What's important is that the players are ready to go, that they're rested, you know, as much as they possibly can be. And like I said, it doesn't matter how our coaches feel. We just got to get the work done and get these guys prepared as much as we possibly can and be thinking sharp. And we can sleep a little later in the week when, you know, thinking sharp on game day. And as we lead up here, so it's always I always think that these Thursday night games, I know they're a pain in the butt to prepare for. They're a pain in the butt for the players to, you know, to turn around. I really have so much respect for the players that they have to turn around and do the things they have to do. But as a coach, I feel like there's like Kevin Petullo and I were talking about a couple of the Thursday night games that we've had in the past and the week leading up to it, leading up to the game and the stories that we have. I always think it's a cool bonding thing for the coaches. We're spending a lot. I won't see my kids very much this week or my wife very much this week, but I sure will see Kevin Petullo a lot and Kellen Moore a lot and Vic Fangio a lot. But I always think there's always cool stories that come out of that. And that's the cool part of the journey that you're grinding together for a common good. A common goal, and you'll remember those things. These are the things that are
presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
They're so cool about being part of a football team, and so we'll make some memories this week, but it ultimately have to go out there and play a good game against a good opponent.
We'll go to Tim and then Martin.
Hey, Nick, how much have you been able to look at Jaden Daniels and what is he showing you in his short time in the NFL?
Yeah, obviously you see him on crossover tape, early on in this week. I'll be watching a lot more of the Commanders defense and then get caught up on the offense as I meet with the defense and things like that. But you know, obviously he's came out on fire. He's got his team playing really well. Hats off to their coaches. And I just got a lot of respect for that coaching staff and the players on that team. And he's playing really good football. It's very obvious. I think, you know, everybody can see that, really good player who's started off on fire. So we'll have a challenge here this week. But can't say enough good things about him. How he's going to the right place with the football, being accurate, the things he can do when things do break down. Yeah, a lot of respect for him, and we'll have our hands full.
We'll go to Martin and then Dave.
Hey, Nick. Obviously, yesterday was kind of like a light, quote unquote, light workload day for Saquon Barkley. I was just wondering, I mean, obviously you wanted to get him rest and you did, but like, are you still able to see like his impact on like the rest of the offense when he's not like touching the ball as often as he has been in the past?
Yeah, definitely. You know, because people have to be alert of your playmakers. It's the same thing, you know, it's the same thing with Smitty, you know, with Jeff's question about Smitty, like, you know, even though he's not touching the ball, he's still making an impact, right? I think that's the same thing can be said for, you know, a good defensive player. Oh, he didn't get a sack, but he's still impacting the game because all the resources that are going to prevent him from getting a sack. So 1,000%, you know, that's what good players, this league is your good player is really based off of the matchups that you get and stopping, you know, not, and trying to prevent good players from beating you. And that's not just our theory. It's probably everybody's theory across the NFL. And so when you devote resources to stop one guy, another guy, you know, something else opens up. That's our job as coaches to figure out, hey, this is what they're doing to stop this and get to that. And so, yeah, Saquon big time has an impact on the game, even when he's not touching the ball or just even when he's on the field. And really, you know, even when he's not on the field, because there's always a threat of him, you know, being able to make a play, and they don't know when he's going to be on there and when he's not going to be on there, so they got to call the game accordingly.
We'll go to Dave and then Bob.
Hey, Nick, when it comes to scramble drills, what do you think are the biggest keys to be successful there?
Yeah, that's a good question, Dave. There's a lot of things. You know, I think without giving away too many of our secrets, the best way to explain it in my end is kind of like in basketball, you're trying to space the court and find the open spots, you know, and free yourself up, right? And so, you know, you don't want to get two guys in the same spot, right? You want to make the defense cover the entire field. You know, and so it's about space distribution with the receivers. There's different things that you do to free yourself up. You got to be aware of the boundary so you don't get pushed out of the bounds. But there's different ways to free yourself up to unlock against a guy that's covering you. And then it's really just like, hey, you're playing. That's how kind we all grew up playing football. When we go to the, you know, to somebody's yard and there wasn't any plays drawn up there. It was somebody running around, you'd count to five Mississippi, and then the guy would come and rush in, and you'd run around and everyone would try to free up. So it's just trying to find space in there and find ways to get the ball. And then, you know, with Jalen, I think what Jalen's done a really nice job of is escaping different ways, escaping around the pocket, both right and left, escaping up through the pocket. And so, which makes it very difficult for the defense. And feels like we've made a lot of plays, particularly yesterday, on our scramble drills. That's something that we work every, you know, all the time at practice. That's always an emphasis of ours at practice, because we know those plays lead to explosives. And we also know those plays kind of come up at you can't explain when they're going to come up. They're going to happen when you're off rhythm and not on time. It's the second play. And so, you know, we put a lot of emphasis on that. We put a lot of emphasis on our rules, on what our rules are there. And the guys have done a really nice job executing, starting with Jalen, and the guys distributing themselves throughout the field to get themselves open.
I'll go to Bob and then Zach.
Hey, Nick, can you describe the job that Jahan has done since he's been here, and how big of an adjustment has it been for him? He was targeted a lot when he was the Commanders, and obviously he probably knew that was going to change some, but can you just talk about that?
Yeah, I think he's done a nice job. Obviously, the last 2 weeks he's made some really big-time plays, explosive plays for us. And, you know, coming off each game, I've seen him play. You know, he hasn't got as many touches as he's gotten in his past, but – you know, I think that's the nature of, you know, the third receiver here is, again, Devontae and AJ are going to be the two receivers that get the most thrown to them. And so that's always tricky because you have to be able to take advantage of the opportunities you get. You know, Jahan's used to in college and even at Washington, you know, 5, 6, 7 targets a game. Well, maybe you're only going to get 1, 2, 3 targets a game here. And what are you going to do with those opportunities? And I think that, you know, the guys that take advantage of their opportunities, you know, are the ones that get rewarded with more opportunities. And so, you know, that's certainly a case, you know, with Jahan, as Jalen continues to trust him, as the coaching staff continues to trust him. But it's really a tribute to him and the player and the person that he is to be, because that's not easy, you know, to have all those opportunities and then all of a sudden not. you really got to, again, it comes down to moving on, play the next play. Yeah, you might not have got the play here, but you never know when the play is coming to you. And to be able to make it and take advantage of those one, two, three opportunities you get a game. And Jahan, these last couple of weeks, has done a really nice job of that. What's unnoticed probably about Jahan is when he runs off, the space on the field that he can create with his vertical speed. You know, he has a handful in the last couple of games, too, of really nice blocks that have set, you know, some runs off and some bubbles and some different things, some screens and stuff like that off. And so we're pleased with how he's playing. He's playing tough. He's playing physical. He's playing, you know, and taking advantage of those opportunities. So he needs to continue that, and we expect him to continue that. And I'm really excited that he's part of this football team.
We'll go to Zach and then Bo.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. Is Jordan Mailata a possibility for Thursday night? And if so, how do you ascertain his readiness in a week of walkthroughs?
Yeah, good question, Zach. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this week goes of you know, putting him in positions to see if he can do some things. You know, obviously we'll have to be creative there, knowing that we will be doing walkthroughs. There's some different things we'll do later in the week that will be a little bit more than walkthrough to help with that as well, you know, to get their bodies going. So we'll have to be creative with that with Jordan. I think what one thing that will be, even though we're doing walkthroughs, we'll still have some individual periods at times, you know, to get the guys going. Again, just so their bodies are moving. So those will be opportunities for him to do that. But like I said, we'll see where he is by the end of the week. We don't have to make a decision now. We have time. Excited that he has the possibility to be back. But, you know, again, Fred's done a nice job. And we'll play it by ear. If Jordan's not ready, he won't go. If he's ready, he'll go. So we'll see where we are at the end of the week.
We'll finish with Bo here.
Hey, Nick, just curious what your conversations were like with Cliff when you were interviewing him for the OC position.
Yeah, a lot of respect for him. You know, he's been a really good coach at different levels for, you know, for a long time. And then respect the you know, him being the former player. Quarterback, you know, got a lot of respect always for former quarterbacks that become coaches, you know, and how they've seen the game and how they can relate to the game. Thought he was outstanding in the interview. You know, obviously chose Kellen in our particular case, but both guys were great. Were both great possibilities to say, and so. Lot of respect for Cliff, and then the job that he's done to date in Washington and his career as a whole.
It's Nick Sirianni, 7-2, I believe the second highest winning percentage of any current NFL coach. Jack,
yeah, he just wins. He's the best.
He just wins. Culture of winning.
And when I hear him talk, I just get more and more motivated.
Well, you know, he's not paid to talk. Well, I guess he is paid to talk
in
a
some instances. Yeah, yes.
In some instances, right.
Yeah, he didn't listen. Doing a good job.
215-592-9494. Big V, cut you off. You are permitted to finish. What's up, man?
Yo, man. Ah, okay, so
what was your favorite takeaway from the press conference, Big V?
That is over.
There you go. That's a win. It's a win. Give him credit where it's due. Yep. It ended eventually.
Yes, yes. I mean, look, takeaway, he was answering questions, yet not answering questions. And, you know, he should have simply said to the guy, you know, talking about the amount of touches that he gets, he should simply say it really easy. There's only one ball in the game, okay? So, you know, you got to spread it around. But the best thing, and give credit to Howie and Jeffrey, is that they did two things. One, well, three things. One, they recognized the talent that they have in Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. And two, they got the talent to surround them to lead to their success. So, you know, say what you want about it, but, you know, this Super Bowl should go to Howie. He made it happen. Second thing, Jack.
It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet, but you know, it looks like all roads
they're on their way.
To the Super Bowl comes to Philly, baby.
That's right.
Big V, I can promise you Howie Roseman will take plenty of credit if the Eagles win the Super Bowl. There will be no shortage of credit for Howie. Mm-hmm. I can promise you that.
Definitely. But, yeah, I mean, look at the game, and you look at the progression and growth. Each week they get better. Now, Jalen has some setbacks, but you also have to say what Jalen's setback was a lot due to the offensive line. I mean, 5 sacks. Come on, guys. Nah. Hold
did you watch
back
that game
a little bit.
Hold on, Big V. Did you watch the game yesterday?
Oh, are you kidding me? I DVR'd it so I could see it again.
Well, watch it one more time.
Watch it one more time. Yeah,
watch it one more time.
Well, the offensive line can't protect him for an hour. You know, if he has, I would guess that the average time it took them to sack him was probably 4 or 5 seconds, which means that he held the ball too long.
He's really got to get out of that habit. I think he's still looking for his main man, and these guys are getting jammed at the line, messing up his timing, and he's spending too much time looking. But he has recovered a lot of it. He's been making some time with his feet and even running the ball. So, I mean, that's great. But he's got to, like, you know, throw the ball away rather than take those sacks.
Yes.
Those are the ones that get me.
Yes.
You just said it was the offensive line.
Well, look, we turned him around. Okay. Jack. Thank you for the call, Big
V. He watched the entire game on DVR in the 30 seconds he was on hold.
Yeah. The Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Start your holiday shopping at marks-jewelers.com. Are the Eagles Super Bowl contenders? We are stuck at 73% saying yes. Kenny from the Dirty 30, you're on WIP. What's up, Kenny?
Make it 74%. They've turned me back around. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Uh-huh.
That's not how percentages work, though, but sure, we'll take it up.
Let him cook.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to let
Please.
You go, Kenny. All right.
Good luck. You know, don't let the truth get in the way of my call here.
That's fair point. So, fair point.
Yes. And I think my vote counts as like 5 votes, right?
Yes.
And I don't know why I said that, but I think it does.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. That game yesterday, first off, Jerry Jones, there's something psychologically wrong with this guy that he thought it was okay not to put those blackout curtains up. Somebody could have gotten seriously hurt or worse. And if the league doesn't step in, then something is seriously wrong with that. I mean, he hurt his own team, let alone, I'm convinced, two of those sacks, Jalen Hurts is running around because he can't see.
Oh, here we go. I'm glad Jalen didn't
on,
say
Ike.
That. I'm glad.
You can't
no,
see
no, no. Listen, listen. Fans can make them. They can convince themselves of anything to feel better about anything. I'm glad none of our players used that as an excuse, particularly the quarterback.
Well, that said, I think there are some people that expect that Jalen Hurts needs to have a 210 quarterback rating, go 24 for 25 for 672 yards, or else he didn't have a great game. And they also expect that our coach needs to make every single decision as if he's Newt Rockne and Otto Graham all put together. And they also expect that every single week we have to play the Kansas City Chiefs or else we don't have a full season. So the NFL basically has 5 good teams, 6 good teams, and the rest is trash. Let's just kick all their butts and let's get to the playoffs. Detroit still doesn't know how to be anything but Detroit. We're going to the Super Bowl.
I'll take it, Kenny.
All right.
Now, are we really going to be at? Are we going to be at the Super Bowl like Kenny was at the draft for McNabb? Yeah,
he was positive.
Well, we'll definitely be there. We'll definitely be there Super Bowl week.
Yeah, we usually leave before the game.
Yeah, we just leave before the game.
Oh, right. That's right. Right, right, right. Because year
you were the big wig that got the tickets last time.
It wasn't big wig. I mean, it wasn't big wig.
What did you
do?
Did you say, did you tell him your last name?
No, I got offered a ticket, and I took it. I went to the game. You guys didn't want to stay for the game anyway.
I never want to stay.
Yeah. And I didn't have to be there all week. If I had to be there all week, let me tell you, if we go to if the Eagles are in the Super Bowl in New Orleans, I will be plenty sick of New Orleans by Friday night and ready to go home.
That's the point. By the time I get to Thursday, I'm ready to go home.
Yeah, a week in a hotel. And I know these are luxury problems, but a week in a hotel is more than enough for me, especially in New Orleans. Now, before we get back to the phones here, 215-592-9494, I do have an issue to run past you guys.
Love it.
Now, Jack and I said, well, I said,
yes.
Well, it was Jack's idea, and then Jack didn't want to do it, but whatever the case, that if the Eagles beat the Dallas Cowboys, head shaving. in support of Coach Sirianni.
Oh.
Now, the problem here is that I truly don't care about shaving my head. Mm-hmm. And then not Bickett, you know, Buzz, like Coach Sirianni did.
Yeah.
But I do think they have to beat Washington. I'm happy to do it today because I said that's what I would do.
Dallas doesn't count.
Yes.
He played a backup quarterback.
Right. So if they win.
Rivalry's dead.
If they win on Thursday, do we do it here at Chickie's on Monday or do we do it in the studio on Friday? What's the right way to do it? Because I will commit to it. I don't know if Jack's going to commit to it. But I want to show support for my coach, Nick Sirianni. I also want him to continue buzzing his head because it's good luck. And I think showing the support. I know Kyle Quinn already did it. Is it best on Friday or Monday?
Well, here's what I would say.
Yes.
We're in a restaurant.
Yeah, that's a good
point. No one really wants you shaving your head in here.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. So it's studio's probably better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it already worked out with Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle did it in the studio. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, Jack?
I just hate following up the midday show.
Well, whatever. We're not fine. Nobody cares if Kyle did.
Well, why'd you offer to shave your head then?
Well, again, it was our idea. Again.
Was it
our idea first?
First, oh, okay.
And then somehow it slipped into the midday show meeting, and then all of a sudden they're shaving heads.
Well, the truth
funny
is,
how that – I think – listen, we like Rod, but I think we have a mole. I used to watch a lot of 24 with Jack Bauer. Every single year there was a mole inside of the – not CIA.
It was every year. No, whatever that was. It was
CTU.
A mole.
Yeah,
CTU. Yeah.
CTU.
What was it?
Central Terrorism Unit. Counter-terrorism unit.
Counter-terrorism unit.
That's Rod Lakin.
Well, the truth is that our meetings with Rod, we have to have the meeting with Rod and then the meeting with Rod after Rod leaves.
I'm just saying, we need to start having our own meetings.
Yes.
Secret meetings.
Secret meeting after Rod leaves.
So you can't think of this is also a good idea for the midday show. Uh-uh.
And Jack, I have to be honest here. I don't think, no disrespect to Kyle Quinn, nobody even knows if his head was shaved before because he wears a hat all the time.
Sure.
I also wear a hat all the time, though I'm happy to do it. The real head shaving that people will be interested in is one Jack Fritz.
I can't tell. Are people, dying for that?
Dying? No, I don't think so.
Sure, not dying. You know what I mean.
Should Jack shave his head? 215-592-9494.
Do people care about me enough, I guess, is my...
Oh, now we're going to the whole do people care about me enough.
Yeah, whatever. This is everyone else's season.
Your name's in the show.
Well,
exactly. Who's Jack Fritz?
Yeah.
I would say...
Yeah.
You're probably... You're definitely top five popular at the station.
Yes.
Fluctuates.
Your name is top five. Stop it.
Absolutely.
This is a platform that you don't go unnoticed. So as much as you talk on this show and you give out your takes, people know who you are. I know you feel baseball is your strong season, and that's where you do your thing. You're a part of the afternoon show.
Yes.
So it's all year long.
And you supporting Coach Sirianni would be big.
Yes. Because we know you're a hater.
It would be huge on YouTube, Jack.
I know, but I've never shaved my head.
Well, here's the thing. The more you squirm, the more people want to see
it. I'm aware, which is why it's tough to do this on the air.
I want to see it happen, Jack.
I know, but I've had the same haircut since I was basically out the womb.
Well, that...
I came out of the womb with a full head.
It'll grow back.
Yeah, it'll grow back. Sometimes
but
it doesn't.
But what if Walker doesn't recognize me?
he's certainly going to be like, what's going on? He's going to have that look. What happened?
Come on, Jack. Commit to it.
I don't want to do it.
Okay.
At all.
Okay.
And
didn't want to do the Eagles cheer or the Phillies game, but it worked out great.
It worked out pretty good.
Ruined the season, but it worked out great.
How many beers am I going to have before?
To get your hair cut?
Yeah, Rod will approve the beer in the studio.
No.
Give you one IPA.
You don't get beer to cut your hair.
It's not cutting hair. It's more than that.
No, what?
Well, it's only, you're buzzing it, right? You're not going. You're not going.
I'm not going bald.
Taz. You're not going with me and Taz.
No. Come on, Jack.
I don't want to, but I can feel some momentum coming.
So you're saying if they win Thursday, you're going to shave your head Friday?
Maybe.
Come on, Jack.
Allegedly.
Possibly. I'll do it too. Come on, Jack.
Yeah, but you've already shaven your head before.
Right, but it's different now.
How much do I have to do? Because name's my son, Juan.
Keep your name on the show?
Yeah.
Everything.
Why?
Well, how else do you earn your keep?
Yes.
It's a good point. Mike, my jokes. That's about it.
We need to pressure Jack. We need to pressure Jack.
So not really working.
Yeah, well, it's on us, but it's also on the – because this is a community. The listeners of the show are a community. So it's on everyone to pressure Jack Fritz. So tweet at him.
Your hair will grow back, Jack.
It'll grow back.
I'm not worried about
that. We'll be like brothers.
There you go.
We'll be like brothers here on the show. All right.
Why?
So
why you want to be brothers?
A great defensive performance makes you think of Donovan McNabb, because Donovan is a defense guy. So we will have five at 4 p.m. coming up next, as we do every Monday on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.